This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. I'm Tommy Dreamer, and today it's the Hardcore Country Edition. Mickey James and myself breaking down everything NXT. We're talking Schism. Ew! We're talking Wes Lee. Yay! And we're talking everything that you want to know about WWE and NXT right here on the Busted Open Podcast. Wes Lee is spitting some rhymes that I cannot. I like it, Wes Lee. You got some bass in your voice. Why? Because that promo was so true.
Yeah.
And for every one of the doubters, for every one of those people that say that you can't, is that's exactly when you got to say, yes, I can.
Yeah.
Enjoyed his promo, man. Solid go home. I was saying before, I liked that two people can just have words, mutual respect, babyface, sign a contract, and this is why I'm going to face you. Not always does it have to be good versus bad. Not always.
Right.
You know, I'm highly invested in now Wes Lee because of his story even more. There are two guys who are going to have one hell of a match, but like you said, spirit of the fight and making that one hell of a championship match. And
that promo segment was probably my favorite thing on the show last night because it was so powerful, right? Like it was done. So I loved the, you know, Donovan is here. He's coming to join us.
What up, Donovan?
I love the swiping, you know, coming to because Carmelo was signing all night. I loved the taking, kicking the leg out and dragging the table out. I was like, that's, you know, and I was wondering, I was like, oh man, because they're both kind of good guys. They're both baby faces. So how is this? Because even in the beginning part of it, I felt like Carmelo was being more like a bad guy. I was going to say a curse word, but he's right here. But he was being that. And then so when we got out there and I'm like, oh, man, it was money both on both sides. But I really felt because, you know, we've all been there, like of people telling us no, the doubters and the people who said you're never going to make it. You're never going to do this, whatever. And so I felt that promo like to my core. Yeah, it was money. It was money. And then him and Carmelo back and forth. And so it was like a mutual respect with no like, you know, adversity on the way out, I guess.
Yes. It's going into a championship fight with when I wanted to, I teased our little NXT faithful. At times last night's show was hard to watch. It was hard to watch because of the lack of the crowd enthusiasm, the good, you listen to that promo and the fans are listening, which is awesome because they're getting the valid responses that they want. And sometimes there's a disconnect with some matches, and I get it. That's when also talent needs to, because I have been on so many shows where, and I mean, you know this, I go out there and watch as many matches as I can, but it's also to feel the crowd because I know I'm going to be going on later. And this is on independent shows. This is, and I'll be listening, and the whole time, even though I'm doing stuff, I'm listening to the crowd. What are they reacting on? Why aren't they reacting? And you have to go out there as a performer to engage these people. Some of the matches were going so quick that you didn't give your audience a time to breathe, to register the big moves or things like that. Or if the matches were just, you know, they're not hitting hard enough, you know, old school. If you're the fans think there's holes in your work, you start laying your stuff in. Or if the match and there's safe ways to hit people and hit people hard, you know, from chops to hits across the back to clubs across the chest. There's different ways to do it in a safe way. Or, and I know this is hard because, you know, again, it's reps. You sometimes got to ditch your game plan when your game plan isn't working. And that's the sports part of the sports entertainment because, hey, we may have all this laid out, but it's not going to work. Yes,
I don't think they're learning that anymore. I feel like they are learning, like, and this is not just there. I think this is across the board I feel like this is this new kind of style that's been more gravitated to being taught is like this A to Z. So there's no on the fly if something happens. There's no idea of what to do in that situation because that's not the way they're learning.
I agree.
And it's, but I don't, and I hear this argument of like, oh, well, this is the new style. Well, I'm telling you, this new style is not working because you hear the people, you see the people. And this is not, this is across the board on television, on all matches. I see the people and I'm like, they're sitting down. And if they're sitting down, then they're not invested, you know? So why, what are we doing that's losing that disconnection with the people that has them on their feet? That has them want to see you get your ass kicked. Where is that part? Like, what is that? Where's the heat? Where is the love?
Huh?
You know?
Right.
Well,
that's my question, D.
On WWE live events, you'll see more interactions with people where they
absolutely
can go out there and learn. It's also going to be, I agree what you're saying. I also agree because of how people are being trained. It's coming from,
this is more that my conversation about that is this is how people are being trained across the board. It's not an indictment on any like NXT, AEW, WWE across the board. I think like independents when I go and stuff like that. And that's, I don't know. I feel like that part of it. And unless they're seasoned veterans or whatever, that is like really helping that younger talent to learn that and to understand why that's so important. They're just glossing over it. And they're just thinking about, and I can watch the matches. I watch these matches a lot of times and I don't say this a lot, but so I'm just telling you, I can just see that there is no emotion on the in-betweens. It's literally this thing to this thing. And there's nothing like the in-between is gone. And I'm like, where I need that as a fan, I need that. Because otherwise I'm just lost.
It's acknowledging a great thing that just happened or a unique thing that just happened. And, you know, if I go to baseball, hey, we got, you know, a guy gets a single. He runs to the base. What does he do? Yes, he'll high five the coach. He'll pat him on the ass or he'll high five somebody. If a run scores, he'll fist pump. He'll do it. That's acknowledgement. That's acknowledgement that I just accomplished something.
Right.
Football, you have a great play. The guy, you know, the running back could run. Maybe he goes 15 yards. You hear first down. The crowd, you know, says first down. His players pick him up. They pat him. They give him like hits on the head. These are acknowledgements for a great play that you just did. And then we have to go on because we still haven't scored a touchdown yet. So I'm just trying to let the nation, as well as I know a lot of independent wrestlers listen as well. And as a lot of, you know, wrestlers that are within the company listen. And within a company, I mean, Impact, AEW, WWE.
Across the board.
And these are those moments that I agree where I see where it's going. But then what's going to happen is the business will drop. And we don't want the business to drop. So that's where the vets and other people will be like, hey, we got to do this because I was in the WWE when the business had dropped and they were like, hey, what do we got to do to get people up? And then you will have people step up and help get it back to where it's going, because once business is affected, then it's all hands on deck. And, you know, I also think when we go back to training, and, you know, I am very, very critical because I want the best out of myself, but out of others. But this sugarcoating things it has to come to an end if you want a perfect like match or performance or, hey, you did this and this. I always go, here's the bad things that you did this, but then here's the good things that you did. Get rid of those because your matches continue. You can't just, I told you this all the time. I used to hate when I would come back through the curtain, they would tell me nothing. They would tell me nothing because I hit my time and my boss, Vince McMahon, he could either care less about me or he didn't be like, oh, what's wrong?
Right.
So I never got you don't get the pat on the back.
No.
Or you don't get you just get, hey, it was good. Nothing. Yeah. So I did everything perfect. So if I did everything perfect, how come I'm not the world champion?
Right. I got a lot of, I mean, I'd get thumbs up or whatever, but I never got like a standing clap. I never got any of that. I just got like a thumbs up or a look up in the thumbs up for the most part.
Well, that's
even
that's
when I'd
Jim
ask,
Duggan
I was like, oh
was
yeah, it was
your,
great. But it's so, because you go like, oh man, wait. Cause I want that feedback even still now. I mean, I want the feedback of like, cause I'm picking myself apart. So I just know I'm super critical on myself.
Well,
on I'm the worst. And so it,
no,
I
you're not the worst, but that's you're one of the best. And that's why you are one of the best. And you will come to me or Scott, your boss, in a heartbeat. You'll be like, blah, 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 blah. And then and you'd be like, you sure? That looks fine. I was like, yeah. And if it didn't, I'd be like, it looked like the shits. And then be like, ugh. Or I'd be like, but the people didn't mind. Or we'll make a joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move forward because you're also at that place in your career as well. But I mean, hell, I don't even know if you wrestle anymore, Nikki. I'm trying to get you to come back to work, basically.
I've
Impact 1000.
I went to the gym
the
yesterday.
The gun show. She's feeling good.
MMA Today.
Tatiana Suarez.
She joins us now. I'm looking at what could be next for you. By process of elimination, there's not a whole lot of other options for the UFC at 115. Have you talked to the UFC about that? Is that what you want next?
I do want that next. I'm not one of those people who is like picking and choosing who they fight. I just say, I want to fight everybody that's the best. I'm not scared of that. I want to do that. And that's like things I embrace because I want to be known as the best. So I have to beat the best in order to be the best.
Tuesdays through Thursdays from 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern.
I love the fact that the convicted felon slash murderers of the family are the baby faces. that was a great crowd. And then from there, it petered off.
Right.
Had me very, very invested into the show. Don't know if it was because of a specific match. But it was at times silent, and this is what Mickey and I are talking about. Mickey, during our commercial break, went on a lovely, lovely, her own Mickey James rant about schism. Not a fan of the word. So
I can't with it. I can't, and it's unfortunate because I like everybody involved. I just don't like the name. I hate it so much.
It's a turnoff.
And it's a massive turnoff. Every time the word comes when every time it's said, and I know it's not what that word means, but I feel like this is a representation of wrestling and our audience, that I feel that about 80% of the audience is thinking the same thing I'm thinking. And every time they say the word, they're all going, ew, ew. What is it? What is it? And I know Andre, you looked it up before during the break, and it means a split. Which makes sense. I'm sure some hipster came up with this cool name, and really now they're clinging to it because I'm just like, I don't love it at all. I like the idea of everything that it is, but even when I go like, okay, well, what is a schism? And are these guys schismy? I don't really know. Do they seem schismy to you, Tommy? And Ava's involved, and I love Ava so much. And then I'm like, oh, I don't want to hate it. I want to love it. And I like the masks and all the thing and the leader and the whole thing. The package is cool. I hate the name. I hate it so much. And I'm sorry.
What,
I apologize
what I get
to
from
everyone involved. Schismy,
I would think of Raven's Flock.
Yeah.
Where Billy Kidman was always scratching because he had some sort of dermatitis.
Yeah, like a, yeah.
A gross type of people. People who are unhinged, people
like
who are
outcasts, like
correct.
A Quasimodo in there. Just all kinds of like real serious outcasts. I think that would resonate with me more because even, you know, the tag team, and they're great and they're great wrestlers, but I was like, oh, you know, I don't feel like they're gross or like when they don't match what this name is to me. And I'm sorry, whoever, I'm sorry, everyone, about this. I'm not sorry because this is ever since it debuted, ever since it's been my same across the board. I don't understand.
Can I say a word that has that same effect on a lot of people that I know? And maybe this will be their new tag team. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Moist.
Ugh.
There it is. For some reason, that gets that reaction when it used to be to describe a nice, like a perfect cake.
It was a delicious cake.
And then now, for somehow, some it's reason, it has become like,
my stomach actually kind of pancaked right there.
All right. Moving on. Not a fan of Schism or Moist.
I don't like the name. I loved the match. I thought the match was awesome. It was a great way to kick off the show. You know, I mean, I thought that was powerful. And kicking, like, you're right. They had them there, that whole thing. The one thing I will say is that we know that Tony D'Angelo, he did that stomp. He does the stomps. He goes through the legs, boom, hits the stomps, ging, ging, ging. Here comes the other partner. He gets double, both of them, with the stomps, with the grabbing the legs and the stomps. And this is an agent thing more than anybody, but why did we see the, like, several talent do that afterwards? Like, do the grab the legs and then do that. If that's his signature thing, is that not a thing?
Repetitiveness throughout the show. And yes,
but it's also not fair to him because that's his thing. So as your brother or sister in the locker room, like, I do think like we're supposed to like, you know,
and so you don't get heat, you need to then go to the office and say, hey, this is kind of my move. Can you make sure people don't move? Because guaranteed, when Randy Orton used to do the stomp, nobody else would do the stomp.
No.
For the longest time, still think it's pretty much taken care of across the board. The good old cutter was never to be used outside of Randy Orton until Matt Riddle did it. And now we have the Cody cutter. But besides all that, that move was very, very protective within the WWE.
And I think it's, powerful to protect it. Once it starts to get over in this thing, like the stomp thing, it's pretty, like, I felt like the people love it and they react to it. So if it becomes something of your thing or whatever, I do think it's important that it's protected, especially if that's the champion and that's someone that you're going to have, you know, then represent the company on the brand. Like, we all have in our repertoire, I mean, a lot of people have a lot more, but I always say 5 things that you can do to anyone out of anywhere that the people automatically, they know that's your stuff, right? Like 5 cool things. And so I feel like at least those 5 things, maybe not everybody should do, right? And then that's not just, and I don't know that that should have to be told. If it's like a signature thing, it shouldn't really have to be told, because usually that person, someone would go, hey, do you mind if I use a tornado DDT? And I'm like, I don't, how are you doing? Like, out of the corner? Hell no, I don't care. You know what I mean? More in the girls' locker room, because I'm in the girls' locker room. I don't know that a guy, guys have come up
well,
to
me. Well, even if a girl in that you're, I mean, I know your comeback, but if you're in the corner and you grab a girl by her legs and then you do the head scissors thing that you do, that's a signature Mickie James thing that you did. Somebody should not do that if Mickie James is on the show or Mickie James is, you know, your champion or Mickie James.
Certainly if I'm your champion, someone else should not do that. Right.
I don't know
if I'm on your show. If we're on different shows or you don't, you know what I mean? You don't know me and you can't really ask me if you can use it at this point. A lot of talent, a lot of people use that Hurricanrana, by the way, which was shown to me and Melina and Jillian Hall when we were in OVW by Ivory.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's Bully Ray.
Do you know who I am?
I talk pro wrestling, and I play rock and roll.
Yeah!
Every Wednesday night, as soon as AEW Dynamite ends, I'm bringing you instant reactions with the Busted Open Nation.
It's Wednesday! You know what that means!
The only place to party is Busted Open After Dark. With me, Uncle Bully, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation 156 and on the SXM app.
We have been blessed with the presence of Giselle Shaw. Good morning, darling.
Good morning. Mickey.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Although I feel like that might have been trademarked, so I can't say thank you. But I'm just saying, I'm so happy to see you. It's been a minute since I've seen you. I've talked to you. We have so much to catch up on. You're doing amazing. Love the Chantourage. I will say that. So fun.
Chantourage, darling.
That's what I said.
Sean.
Entourage.
Not Shatra. No, with an N.
Sean.
Like Entourage.
Sean Entourage. Charlotte.
It's hard when like you're also Canadian. It's hard.
It's a Canadian. Right, yeah. I feel like Charlotte Rush just rolls off
to pronounce these things.
Yeah. I don't say
That's why we have Matt Raywalt and Tom Hadifin, you know, just say these things. But I've missed you. I've missed you so much. I missed you too. I do love talking to you.
Always, always.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, you guys.
Oh my gosh, always.
We love you. I'm blessed to have Giselle in my life. When you said happy to, I love Giselle. I'll always love seeing her. Her and I are super tight, beyond a positive person, and happy for all of her success. Recently, you did something. If you could tell us another great accomplishment for yourself, what you just did.
I did. So Windsor Essex Pride Fest, actually here in my hometown of Windsor, Ontario, Canada. I was named as one of the co-ambassadors this year. So that's 2 years in a row now that I've been an ambassador for Pride. And I just really love, you know, giving back to the community, because it's important to me that I shed, you know, a spotlight on and the important things, you know, like the Pride, and that the people in the community are targets of violence and discrimination and all that stuff. And, you know, it's very important for me as a member of the community to be, you know, just showing people that, like you said, Tommy, love is love. And, you know, that hopefully one day we become a society where that's just a normal thing. And, you know, it's just like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
I'm always, yeah, right. Whatever about everything. So I think that's why. I'm like... Either that or I'm dead inside. So I haven't decided yet.
Oh, no, you're not. We know you're not. You're like
emotionless,
gushy on the inside.
I am. Screaming on the inside.
Let's keep up my hardcore image. Mickey, field some questions.
I know it's been so long. I mean, how did that, you said it's their second year, and I know you were the ambassador for the parade or whatever, but how does it feel, honestly, to go back home and then to be put in the spotlight and be able to not just to represent your community and your town, but, you know, how far you've come even in your own journey, you know, like, I think that's really, really powerful. And it's really cool. I think when we as wrestlers get to do things outside of wrestling that are things, but I don't often think that we, show, or at least in the wrestling community, we show how important and how impactful that is in the community as a whole, because it was, you know, you took a long journey and your own journey just to get to this space to be able to stand up and say, you know, this is who I am, and to stand in that in power and not feel like you had to make yourself smaller when you said it, right? So and that's just from my personal conversations with you. So I'm sure that from, you know, your personal relationships with a lot of people back home, or however they had grown or not grown or whatever, and that to be able to come back and do that, it's a really powerful moment. I mean, were you nervous? How did you feel?
So I feel obviously honored, and, you know, so just so grateful that I've been chosen as one of the co-ambassadors, because like you said, I haven't really, I've disclosed my story until last year in Toronto Pride. And it's something that I, you know, never really wanted to talk about to people. Because in wrestling, I just wanted to prove myself as, you know, Giselle the wrestler. My gender, my race, my whatever has got nothing to do with wrestling. So, you know, for me, it was like, you know, make a name for yourself through wrestling. Because if you're going to judge me, you judge me, because either I'm good or bad in the ring. And, you know, and last year, it's just that realizing that I have this platform with Impact Wrestling, you know, it has such a huge reach that I'm influencing people, I'm inspiring people, but for me to be able to inspire people, I need to accept myself first and foremost. So I think that was so important for me to tell my story. And, you know, like, I never really even wanted the whole, for me, that's like the whole ambassador thing. You know, it was like, hey, like, I just wanted to show my support and stuff and whatever. And then they go, oh my gosh, like, you would be a perfect person for this. And I go, oh, okay, cool. Because, you know, with the platform, like I said, it has such huge reach that inspiring people, educating people, you know, people like, I have that voice that people normally wouldn't have. So to do it 2 years in a row is just amazing. And to do it in my hometown, you know, and I'm really new here as well in Windsor, Ontario. So it's just been 2 years that I've been living here, and it's just incredible. You know, it's so incredible. And I do love helping people. I know that I'm not the nicest person on TV. However, you know, I feel like that's wrestling, and Giselle, the person, is all about, you know, giving back and what can I do to help people.
Mm-hmm. Coming off of, you know, the heels of one of Impact Wrestling's largest attended shows we had in Windsor, which always makes us feel great as performers because that Windsor crowd brought it. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow we have Impact on Access Television. And then there's the multiverse right around the corner on Sunday. I know you're not wrestling on this Thursday, Savannah. You're in Savannah's corner. And then, you know, multiverse, I know you'll be in attendance. I don't know if you're wrestling. I got to follow up on that.
Yeah. You know what? So Deonna threw a challenge to Julia for multiverse. And I don't know. I think there's like this trend or something where you just challenge people and then, you know, like randomly. So I obviously intervened because nobody steals my spotlight, darling. Mm-hmm. So I challenged Julia as well. And, you know, I don't know, there's rumblings. Apparently she responded and there's another person named Momo that wants to throw her name as well in that little basket. And I'm thinking, you know what? Management hasn't confirmed anything. So I feel like I'm going to take this opportunity to really call out now the management of Impact Wrestling and New Japan. Hello, I know you're listening. So this is the quintessential diva, Giselle Shaw. And please, you know, we've shown you the first multiverse that the women can bring it. And we delivered. So please make this happen so that we can show you that we've done it. We can do it again. And the card is already stacked. Adding the women here is a must see. So you'll never regret it.
I agree. I have learned one thing from good old Scott D'Amore, that wrestlers can't make matches, but on social media, wrestlers still do for some reason. So we'll have to try to figure out a happy balance there.
Well,
go ahead.
You know, the match as well for Emergence in Toronto, Ontario, not my hometown, but my home country, coming August 27th. Again, people are, you know, Savannah and myself were actually confirmed for the match to challenge MK Ultra. And then yet again, wrestlers going behind, you know, management's back, whatever, trying to insert themselves into the match. And now it's a four-way tag match. Like, wait, what? What's happening here? Is this a trend?
Actually, I saw that.
This the trend? And if it is, I don't like it.
Santino, I feel Santino got a little pressured into that situation.
Mm.
Exactly. You know what? Management succumbs. So maybe I'll pressure. My turn to pressure now. Make this a four-way match at Multiverse 2, please. Management.
A lot of stuff going on. You know what I think the cool thing is, especially with New Japan? New Japan has always been a male-dominated company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't have a women's division for the longest time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I talked about China, when China went there for the first time and was wrestling Chono, you have no clue what a big deal that was within that country. And now, you know, with Mercedes going there and having, you know, opening the doors for where it's becoming standard on big shows like this that they do have a women's match, which is very, very cool that, you know, society, like you said, needs to grow. And we always need change. And I'm happy that it's happening so the women continue to shine. Because you mentioned four women that can go in the ring. I'm looking at two of them that can go in the ring. And it's just a great accomplishment that New Japan and is just like, forget about how it is in the States. It's commonplace, which is great. But it took a long time to get there. I'm looking at Nikki James, who had to go through that struggle to get there. And then, you know, now with New Japan, that's happening. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Well, hopefully, right, that, like you said, right, it's not a normal thing to have women on the shows because for the longest time, it is a male-dominated industry company. So what we're doing is that hopefully with these matches, banger matches, by the way, that they would continually see that it's like, yeah, you know what? Like, it's like, this is not just like a like a special match, a novelty match, you know. It's just like, you know what, like, we want the women here because they can go. And Mickey was there the first time, you know, front and center. She was there the commentary booth and we delivered, you know. And I don't know, like, what did you see, Mickey?
Well, I always, you know, I take pride in the women's division, especially the knockouts division. And I always think that the women go out there and kill it. Like, we go out there and kill it. And if we're, whether we're given, and I think that's just been a testament, or it's always been trying to been at least my MO, whether I'm given 5 minutes or 20 minutes, you want to make sure that they're like, it's awesome, that whole thing. And I think all the girls, and possibly because we feel like we have to prove ourselves even still, you know, that we still, and especially in this position, like with the New Japan, involved, because they don't use the women, and they haven't for so long. Like, it's almost like it's still going back to that. Okay, we have to prove that not only we belong here, but why they need us. And so you want to make sure that it's not just your best performance just for you, but for the future of the women's division, hopefully there, you know? So I think a four-way would be awesome. Obviously, I love the idea of the Multiverse United shows. I think they're amazing. And, you know, the Forbidden Door, it's not as popular anymore. But like that whole thing of like seeing these cross brands of people kind of interacting that you wouldn't normally. And it's exciting because you're going to see these once in a lifetime type of matches. You know, I think, I always think it's awesome. And I think it's important. And that's why I go like, oh, I don't think we should have to be saying please at this point. I think it's important on both sides that the women are a part of the show in some capacity. Yeah. And I hope it's you. I hope you get your four-way, sis.
Thank you.
Talking about your platform, if you could tell us your experience, you were recently, you and Gail Kim, on the super competitive team. Mickey hasn't been a part of it. Canada's Amazing Race?
That's correct. The Amazing Race Canada.
Okay.
So, so Gail and I are current participants.
Hold on. They are current participants. And Tommy, I could not be a part of it because I am not Canadian.
Maybe he's talking about Bling Empire.
I didn't know that.
I don't do it
maybe
right.
Maybe that's why they didn't answer my any of my calls.
My fingers are too fat to make the heart. It just makes a V.
Sorry.
Weird.
Your finger blocked out your entire screen. I'm sorry. Sorry.
she's like, hey, wait, what? so Gail and I, you know, are current participants of season 9, The Amazing Race Canada. And it has been, well, no pun intended, amazing. You know, we met such amazing people. And, you know, you like everyone has so many different stories and different platforms, you know, that why they're racing, that, it's been so incredible. And it was really, really hard. I'm not going to lie.
It was.
Yeah. When they, you know, when you see it on TV as a civilian and you're just there and you're like, oh, come on, you're screaming at the TV. Cause I'm like, why is this person so dumb? Like, why, you know what I mean? It's right there. It's right there. But when you're in the race, it's like you have race brain, we call it. And, you know, it could be staring at you in the face and you're just like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Like, I went down a building 3 times because I couldn't find the word. And, you know, it was really, really high. And I had to rappel down, like face down, feet on the building. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know what? Like, I feel like if you rush through things, that's when you miss things. And that's what I did. And I was just like, oh my God, let's just get down the building. And I'm like, oh my God, like, where is it? You know, but, you know, it's been incredible. And, you know, and I got to share, you know, weeks with Gail. And I, you know, she's someone that I've looked up to growing up. And, you know, sharing the same locker room with her is a dream. Spending 3 weeks with her and actually getting to know her personally on a deeper level, it's like, whoa, like I'm hanging out with Gail freaking Kim. And I always tell her, Gail freaking Kim, remind yourself, hello.
How do you think your relationship with Gail, because Gail is obviously the leader of the Knockouts, and, you know, how has that relationship grown, changed, or whatever, ever since doing, you know, the show and have having to, you know, film this? Because you guys have to do it together. It's a teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. So she and I actually, you know, our bond, I feel like, has grown bigger, stronger. And just, we were locked in a room together. Like, that's how, like, you know, it's like, you don't go to a hotel and everyone's like, oh yeah, cool, whatever. Like, everyone has separate hotels. Like, you're locked with this person. And like during training week, it was like 1 week of her and I just in the room. We weren't allowed out, by the way. So we just had to stay in the room, order in, whatever. And, you know, it's like these moments that you get to talk about like when you go to work, you don't have time to really talk about just work because mm-hmm. everyone's so busy, everyone's on the go. So I think this is an opportunity. This was an opportunity for Gail and myself to just really like, who is Gail Kim and who is, you know, Giselle, not the performer, but Giselle, the person.
Right.
Ultimate goal. Cause we got the big one coming up, you know, like you say, emergence. Then we got Victory Road. We got the 1000th episode. We got a big mm-hmm. meet and greet up in White Plains. And then it's Bound for Glory, which is one of Ooh. The biggest pay-per-views of the year.
Yes.
I know. Would I say your ultimate goal is the Knockouts Championship?
Of course. I feel like if they came to Impact Wrestling, or even if they're not in Impact Wrestling, and they're saying that the Knockouts World Championship is not their goal, like, you know, I'm going to call your bluff. Like, that's a total lie. I feel like we all get into this business to be the best of the best. And, you know, that's been my motto since day one. And I feel like maybe hopefully one day I will be Knockouts World Champion. But also want to, you know, in emergence, I have a shot for the Knockouts World Tag Team Championship with Savannah. So, you know, I think one step at a time. I don't know where I'm going to end up, but that's definitely in my sights constantly, because I feel like if you don't have any goals in life, then like, what are you even doing?
And of course, we could see you each and every Thursday on Impact.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We love you. I love you.
I love you.
Thank you for coming on the show and being today's Women of Wednesday. I'm yes. Tommy Dreamer. She's Mickey James. And that was our very own Giselle Shaw from Impact Wrestling right here on Busted Open.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.